Radio Influence. The future is now.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Friday edition of the Dark to Light podcast with...
Thank God it's Friday, Val, I'm back, and...
A very special guest. His name is...
Rick Garvin, male prostitute.
No, my name is Michael Pelka, and I'm thrilled to be here.
And I'm Beans. We have three people on the show today. It's going to be debauchery up and down, up and down. Frank, you are a new dad, and you are back with us. How different do you feel?
Oh, I feel great. I feel great. I really do. And I'll tell you something. That's not to say that I'm not exhausted, and I just don't care. I've been running around with a level of exhilaration that just doesn't matter. You tell me any reason why I have to wake up at 2:30 and then 4:15 and then 6:25 all in the same night, and for me to jump out of bed with, oh, I got to do this. I'm there.
I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. It's a preview of what happens after you hit 60. Hours, you get a little, I gotta get up, I'll be right back. It just happens, Frank. This is training for what happens
from babies to prostates.
That's it. So, you know, just showing you that there is Sophoclean irony at play here.
Yes. Oh, thank you for that.
We could never have a better person to join us today. Mike, for those of the people out there that have been living under a complete rock for years, can you tell everybody who you are and what you're all about in 5 words?
Thanks. Oh,
dear God. 5 words.
I'm an unhinged radio talk show host.
He did it.
Radio talk show host. He did it.
Let people know, let people know what you do. You're amazing. I met you because I did an interview with you, and we hit it off. And I'm a better person today because of it. So go for it.
So nice. I happen to be a media guy who's been in radio since before either of you were born. I've worked in radio full time since 1988, but in and around radio and music video for 3+ decades. I've produced television for the Fox Network. I was the 10th or 11th person hired at FX when it started years ago. And actually launched the first national competitor to MTV, which after 3 years of fighting with us, they bought us and turned us off. So I've been in and around radio, music, comedy for decades, and I am blessed to be able to do what I love to do. I'm not making a fortune, but I can't have this much fun. You know, this could be illegal. So I'm really fortunate. I do a morning radio show 6 to 9 every day, and I fill in for people all around the country. Next week, I'll be filling in for Simon Conway in Iowa.
Do it. You got to do the Casey. Go for it.
And coming up next week, Mike will be taking the reins at Simon Conway's show on WHO in Iowa.
Wow.
Now, back to the countdown.
Wow. Just like Casey Kasem.
He did. What was it, Mike, that you did? The it was a countdown. You were doing it when we were about to do an interview, and it was before air, and you were doing what was a Biden. Do you remember that?
I was doing the with myself talking to Casey's ghost, and we were playing the top 5 most racist things ever said by Joseph Robinette Biden Jr. And we counted them down from coast to coast.
It was
how's your cousin Brucey?
Hey, cousin. The only reference I have in cousin Brucey is Stern, because I used to listen to Stern, but I used to run into cousin Brucey in bars on Long Island way out in the Hamptons when we lived in New York City. And he was always so nice. And why wouldn't you be? He was a very wealthy man because of his gig in radio. So, yeah, he was a nice dude. I think I've worked with everybody in radio. I worked with Scott Shannon and Adam Curry and everybody. I'm that old.
Scott Shannon. Wow. 95.5.
Well, Scott Shannon was one of the founding fathers of the Morning Zoo format. In 1988, he called me and asked me if I would come to New York and consider producing his morning zoo show. And I ended up working with Scott for a year on Z100 WHTZ. And then he went to Los Angeles. And I would rather take out my appendix with a warm spoon than go to Los Angeles. So I stayed in New York City. Glad I did.
I used to listen to that morning show. You're giving me a little too much credit. Frank's much younger than me, but I just remember I just turned 40. So I was born in 1988 and I used to listen to the Z Morning Zoo.
Well, you couldn't when I was there from 88 until 1993 when I went over to FX. So you would have been five when Coach Mike was talking to you.
No, eight.
1980. No. You said you were born in 88.
Drake. I was born in 80.
Okay, well, you misspoke. Okay.
So you did. Yeah, you did say 88.
Well, maybe I wish subconsciously I was born in 88. But
that's what's on your fake driver's license.
Then I would be three. I would be 3 years older than you then.
Yeah, that's no good. This is a funny story. When I was young and I tried to get into bars before I was able to, I used to have an ID that had me with blue eyes, and I have dark brown eyes. So one day, one of the bouncers gave me a hard time, and I said, "That's because I'm full of shit up to here," and he let me in anyway. You know, that's the brown race.
I can't believe you would break the law.
I was a law-breaking ninny-wagger when I was young.
That's it.
Good to know. Well, you know, radio's an amazing business that used to be even more amazing. Now it's struggling, but it's because of podcasts like this.
Sorry.
That's okay. That's all right. We can do both.
I don't see why not.
It's a new evolution.
Yeah.
So I'm staring at all my notes. I had all this prep. I was like, well, it's Tracy Beans. She's with Uncover DC. We're going to talk about all this. And now I realize I feel like Nancy Pelosi after the State of the Union. I should just start tearing stuff up and throwing it out.
Well, speaking of Nancy Pelosi, Frank, did you get to see it? You have probably not watched anything over the past several days, right?
I've seen very little, but I've paid attention to the specialized lists that I have created on Twitter. So I get a lot of synopses from people like you and some of our other friends and stuff. So I'm not totally out of the loop, but I haven't been watching a lot.
Let's listen to Nancy, good old Nancy, yesterday telling everybody about peaceful protests. Good. Yeah.
Which leader spoke, the gentleman on the other side said, where are you when you're talking about violence, this or that? We're there. We support peaceful demonstrations. We participate in them. They are part of the essence of our democracy. Oh. That does not include looting, starting fires, or rioting. They should be prosecuted. That is lawlessness. I'm very proud that Joe Biden has presented the clarity of that, making a distinction that I don't think our colleagues quite understand, but the American people do.
Yeah, they do. They do. They understand that you're a lying dog-faced pony soldier.
Ouch. You know, Nancy Pelosi, Speaker of the House, you have to confer upon her the respect that she deserves. Don't you think? Don't you think that she deserves the kind of respect that Jim Cramer gave to her this week?
Frank, did you see that?
I didn't see that one.
Oh, well, in case you missed it, I just happened to have my old buddy Jim Cramer from Mad Money right here. This happened live on CNBC.
Between you and I think Secretary Mnuchin, I mean, what deal can we have, Crazy Nancy? I'm sorry, that was the president. I have such reverence for the office, I would never use that term. But it is
but
hard.
But you just did.
Oh, come but on. You just...
I love it. She went full Catholic school nun on him and went, what you just did, little mister.
Sister Nancy.
Yes.
Sister Nancy, who doesn't hate anybody. It's impossible for her to hate anyone ever.
No, because she's a Catholic. She's a Catholic. She can't hate anybody.
She's
impossible.
A cafeteria Catholic. Yeah. Mother would say she's a cafeteria Catholic. She walks down all of the Catholic dogma and all of the rules and goes, well, I'll have a scoop of that, but you keep that abortion. We don't want any of that. We can't have life happening, but give me some of that. Give me the pill. I'll take the pill, but we won't take the abortion. Thank you.
They leave that conveniently right on the side over there.
Convenient. That's the answer. It's convenient. She also was unique this week among many big people in D.C. when she talked about the peace deal that the president managed to wrangle out of the Emiratis and the Bahrainians. You heard that, right, Trace?
Yes.
What happens if we didn't hear it, Mike?
This.
We've been waiting for a very long time for the president's proposal for an Israeli-Palestinian peace agreement that honored the two-state solution. It still hasn't come in any way that has brought peace. So good for him for having a distraction on a day when of people who are affected and the numbers of people who are dying from this virus only increases.
How many
statements was that all jumbled into one?
Yeah. You always got to bring it back around to slamming him on the virus, on the COVID-1984 virus.
Wow. No, I didn't hear that.
I'm like speechless right now because did you guys see in I think where was it? It's off the top of my head, so I'm forgetting where they lied about the bars and the bars and the clubs and the restaurants.
Nashville, huge story out of Nashville.
Yeah, so Nashville, they unearthed emails, I guess via FOIA, that explain they're going back and forth with one another, saying they can't release the numbers because the numbers show that there's no spread really happening at restaurants and clubs and bars.
Oh.
So they kept it secret, Frank, from everybody. And there were people, did you guys see this in the comments underneath this, saying, oh, well, it's better this way to keep people at home. You know, they've got to keep them safe. Like, lying to people is much better than having them, God forbid, leave their homes and go out and fraternize.
Oh, I have some stories just from the hospital over the weekend. And I'll tell you, this is a hospital. We're in Connecticut at this point. And I'm talking to some nurses here, the first ones that come on over to us. And I stereotype people politically. And it's mostly white people that I stereotype with the way that they talk, how sure themselves they are. I'm like, okay, this person's a big prog. And this older nurse, you can tell that she's been delivering babies for years and years and years. I was so surprised. She came on over to Lauren. She was very, very helpful. And she said, I got to do your COVID test. And she goes, I'm sorry. I got to do it. They're all very contrite and sorrowful about what they had to. None of them believed in what they were doing anymore. And we actually got a few of them without any prodding for them to come out and say. So they put the Q-tip down her nose. And then she pulled it on out. She goes, yes, I'm sorry. I know it's unpleasant. And to be honest, I don't even think that we're getting any real information out of these tests. I don't trust what we're getting out of these tests. This came out of her mouth unsolicited. Okay. And there was another person and a couple of others just expressed
she said that? I thought you said that. Okay.
No, the nurse in the delivery room says, and then another one just said, I'm completely over all this COVID stuff. There's more that came on out. Like I said, completely unsolicited. I was not trying to make any kind of political presence in that hospital. I wanted to get in and get out. But as far as people who are seeing this crap for what it is, holy shit.
Yeah, there's a lot of that going on out there. And the interesting thing here is that the government incentivized the spiking of the numbers, increasing the numbers, by saying that because of the dangers of this in the early days when we did not know much, they were given a 25% increase on payments from especially Medicare and Medicaid if a patient had COVID. And that was meant to mitigate the expenses that were incurred by these facilities because of PPE that was required. Where they'd normally wear 1 gown a day or 5 gowns a day, they're now wearing 20. And so, yes, there were legitimate expenses, but these kinds of incentives were baked into the system. They automatically bring abuse to the forefront. And we are now seeing the numbers probably have less credibility than I do if I said I'm a Major League Baseball player. It's just fake. It's Bravo Sierra. That happens all the time. So the Nashville story where all this started is particularly disturbing because it's a Democrat mayor in a Democrat city that is telling people, we don't want to put out the numbers that show the bars and restaurants are the source of the spreading. And particularly disturbing is that the real numbers show the senior centers and the nursing homes were actually having a problem. So had they just shut that off and isolated those people and allowed businesses to stay open, we would have had a city that probably would have had a result like Sweden, where they didn't have a shutdown, they didn't have a mask mandate, the schools stayed open, the businesses stayed open, and guess what? They have herd immunity developed, and their economy's doing just fine. Mm.
You know, speaking of all that and politicization of numbers and stuff, like I did a piece, I think I talked to you about it, Mike, that a senior administration official sat and talked with me for a while about how the CDC was politicizing this. They're a bunch of, the CDC is a train wreck, honestly, but I'm seeing interesting stuff. Michael Caputo did a crazy YouTube video where he basically said he was afraid for his life, that there were bad people inside that were doing horrible things and that he wasn't going anywhere and he was going to put his foot down and handle things. And then he went on a leave of absence, like literally the next day. And his assistant got fired. And he's having some health issues or something, some lymphatic issues I read that he's taking a leave of absence for. But apparently he's getting threats at his home. He's a spokesperson for HHS, Health and Human Services.
Yeah.
And, you know, they took kind of control over this data because what I heard was that the hospitals would call in because they didn't have any updated technology because the CDC kind of dragged their feet on implementing it as they were directed to. So they would call in the CDC and say, hey, I've got, you know, one COVID patient, the hospital would say. And the CDC would be like, how many doctors are in that wing with that patient? And they would say 20. And they'd be like, okay, 21 cases. And that's how they would report how many cases were in hospitals. So there was no good data. It looked like hospitals were like overflowing with coronavirus patients, but they weren't. Mm. And now there's this shakeup at Health and Human Services. I don't know what's going on. Have you heard anything about that, Mike?
Well, no, but I'm disturbed by the Caputo situation. It sounds like he said something bad about Putin publicly. Yeah. You know, suddenly the next day you've had a cup of tea with a friend and you've got your face is breaking out in boils and there's some kind of crazy disease happening. That's really disturbing. And especially when you consider the fact that these are people who have connections to the medical world. And they probably know where the extra vials of smallpox are hidden.
I don't want to even think of the poor guy. Like I saw him on video and I was like, oh, my gosh, he's had to have lost like 20 pounds or so. It's a difference. It's a stark difference from when
That's very troubling.
Yeah.
Well, I'm disturbed by all of this because we always talk about we want the truth. We just want the truth. And the Democrats are trying to demonize Trump and say that he's the problem. He's not listening to the scientists. He's not speaking the truth. And I have something I have to play from you that references that situation. And last night with town hall. Did you watch the town hall?
I did, and we're going to get into it. I did. I saw a lot of it. I have some clips too. I'm glad you do because yours are much cleaner and nicer. So we'll use yours. But you know that this show is brought to us today by Native Deodorant.
Oh, thank God! I can't live without Native.
No,
now.
Seriously, I believe in performance, right? So I made the switch to more natural products for a while, but they have to do the job. Native does the job. It really does. It is. It doesn't just block odor. It's made better. It has ingredients like coconut oil, shea butter, tapioca starch. It's vegan, which I don't really, you know, I like my meat, but hey, never tested on animals. Aluminum, Mike, I don't know if you know this. It forms a plug in your like sweat gland.
Yeah.
And that's what's in most deodorant. And then it plugs up your, do you want aluminum in your armpits all day long?
No.
No, no, I want it to cover my turkey when I'm cooking my Thanksgiving turkey, but that's it. I don't want it in my armpits.
So switching to an aluminum-free deodorant doesn't mean that you have to sacrifice on protection. Frank can attest.
Yes, no, you don't have to sacrifice on anything. It feels amazing.
He likes putting it on. It glides. Now,
what are the ingredients again that are in there?
Oh, it's got great ingredients. It has. I mean,
it sounds like if I had toast, I could put it on the toast and on my armpits.
You could. Coconut oil, shea butter, tapioca.
So good. That sounds like it would taste delicious.
I know. That's why Frank likes it. Yes.
Because I've been eating it for months now.
Don't eat native. Put it on your armpits. With over 10 scents, including rotating seasonals, they have something for everyone. Their most popular classic scents are coconut and vanilla, lavender and rose, cucumber and mint, and citrus and herbal. I personally like the cucumber one.
Do they have an unscented? I'm an unscented guy.
They're not like potent, though. I don't think they might have one. I don't even know.
They don't overcome you. They really don't. They just smell like, I don't know, like you've walked
through a meadow,
through a garden or something real quick. it's not that pungent or anything. It doesn't clash with any kind of cologne that you put on. It's just, I don't know. I think the ingredients alone just make me feel better about the rest of the day. And it's just like, okay,
I'm natural nothing, now.
Yeah, nothing crappy in there.
My buddy Tony Faraci, who used to spray himself with so much cologne that you wondered what he was cloaking.
It's always a scare when you smell it 5-10 feet away from the person that just wafted by.
Over cologne. He's over cologne. Okay, get the plug in. Sorry.
Go to nativedeo.com/darktolight or use promo code darktolight at checkout. Get 20% off your first order. That's nativedeo.com/darktolight or use promo code darktolight at checkout for 20% off your first order. It is really amazing stuff. Thank you for sponsoring the show, Native. Now to the crazy Joe Biden. Go for it.
Yeah. Last night, Biden was up there on the stage. First of all, you noticed the social distancia that was going on, the social distancing between Anderson Cooper and Joseph Robinette Biden Jr.?
Only until the cameras were going to break and they thought that they were alone. Then they walked up and Joe was whispering in his ear and smelling his hair.
Oh, please. Some people are going to be enjoying a snack when this is played and not now. That's an appetite suppressant, Joe Biden. The picture, the one photo that keeps running of Joe Biden sniffing the young redheaded girl's hair that's always there, that's Chris Coons' daughter.
Ugh, she's and here victimized.
Here in the Delaware, where I reside, the Coons family, they're nice people. I disagree with Chris on policies. He is just the nicest guy. And his daughter has been a participant in the children's theater that we run here in Wilmington, Delaware. She's a lovely child. She's now a grown up. And I just wish the mainstream media, even people on my side, would stop using pictures of Biden with kids who are unwilling participants in this this activity. So yeah, I'm wagging my finger at you people.
It stinks. It does, because they're like re-victimized to relive that moment over and over and over again.
Yeah, Maggie doesn't need to see Uncle Joe sticking his nose right behind your ear and go, oh, that's great. Let me just throw that in here. You know, it's just...
I'm very proud of your father. It's a good man.
we've made him into the basement creature. Anyway, last night Biden was talking and he created a new reality last night. I don't know if you heard this.
Imagine had he at the State of the Union stood up and said, hey, we got a real problem. Imagine if he had said something.
Yeah. Imagine if Donald Trump at the State of the Union on February 4th had said something about the COVID-1984 virus.
Hold on. Wait, where's the twinkle music?
Imagine.
Protecting Americans' health also means fighting infectious diseases. We are coordinating with the Chinese government and working closely together on the coronavirus outbreak in China. My administration will take all necessary steps to safeguard our citizens from this threat.
It's just over. What's there to say? They speak knowing that those that they want to reach are largely largely oblivious to all things. Now, even a guy like Joe Biden can stumble his way through fragments of several statements jumbled together. And somebody out there will say, oh, yeah, you know, I remember it that way. Oh, yeah, no, he never said anything, because they were never paying attention in the first place. They're never paying attention in the first place. They've been fed a steady diet of very short clips and sound bites from people like Bob Woodward and Brian Stelter. And like you said before, it's a pretended reality, the whole thing.
Wait, did you say incoherent statements together? Did you?
Yes, I did.
So make it clear that when you, in fact, it's got to be, if any of that is being purchased by any government agency, that it will not, we will not purchase anything that mm-hmm. is not made in America.
Okay.
Including the downriver line. Oh my. Of what has to be done, all the parts. You can't do what he's doing now. You can't do where he's given a tax break to companies that in fact go overseas, bring their, and then import the product back into the United States of America, even though the headquarters is here. The chain, though, you go overseas and they bring it back in cheaper than you being able to produce it. Huh? And so I'm going to make sure that it's made in America. I believe, and I mean that. We've been talking about this policy for 100 years. We've never fully done it. We can and must do it now.
Where have I heard made in America?
I don't know. I think they're using the word America, which is amazing because they never like to do that.
My God.
That's last night, and that is unedited. And if you could watch, if there was an isolated camera on Anderson Cooper, he was like in a thought bubble over his head. It's like, dear God, let me jump in here. Come on, let me save him.
Do you have the one where he talks about mental health?
Oh, no. Go ahead, please.
I don't know if I have it. That's why I'm asking.
Oh. I love that whole idea about policy, made in America policy that they've been wanting to have for 100 years. It's called stop taxing the hell out of us and allow people a haven to create and thrive as a entrepreneur in the United States, so that you don't. I mean, there's no. I don't even like when Donald Trump says I want to put in tariffs and tax the hell out of American companies for bringing their production overseas. You don't need to do that. You just need to make it such an undeniably business friendly environment here in the U.S. that anybody who is thinking coherently about what they want to do with their business. It's not going to say, well, you know, I'd rather spend more money going to Ireland for my production services than stay home just because I like the Irish. No, you're going to make a decision on I want to be home and I want it to be cheaper and I want to be more effective. So I don't understand this whole even what policies that they've been talking about that is supposed to be pro made in America when they're talking about jacking the corporation tax back up again.
Yeah, and he was only in Washington for 47 years. He was only there for 47 stinking years. Donald Trump's been there almost 47 months, and he's lowered the corporate tax. He's brought more money back. He's got more money to repatriate. But then, you know, Biden, if we look at that clip and we say, oh, that's terrible. He's not all there. I want to do an A-B comparison on a story he told 5 years ago and he told earlier this week in a Rosh Hashanah Zoom meeting. So Joe Biden 5 years ago told this story.
But for me, you know, my wife, when she wants to, she's a professor. When she wants to leave me messages, she literally tapes them on my mirror when I'm shaving. And she put up a quote from Kierkegaard. And Kierkegaard said, faith sees best in the dark. And for me, my religion is just an enormous sense of solace.
So, okay, pretty good story, right? Talking about the wife. Fast forward 5 years. To this week.
You know, there's that great philosopher, and he talked about Jill puts notes up on my mirror when she wants me to, more I shave, to get messages across to me. And there's a philosopher who once said that faith sees best in the dark. Kierkegaard said that. Well, and solace in our faith that our best days are ahead.
What? Jeez, yeah. It's bad. It's bad.
That's 5 years. 5 years. And we all know that time is going to not be kind to any of us. It's just the way it is. But we don't have the launch codes.
Here's the mental health one. I found it while you guys were talking here.
More at risk in terms of mental insecurity than any generation. And that's why we have to make sure we have more social workers and psychologists in our schools. We learned drug abuse doesn't cause mental illness. Mental stress and mental illness cause drug abuse. We've learned so much that we can change so much. And that's why we have to make sure that the super wealthy start paying a fair share. So we can do the things we have to do to make life better for hardworking middle class folks.
What?
I'm telling you, anybody, listen, I was talking about this last night with Adel Nero and Brendan Dilley about Joe Biden, about the upcoming these debates, whether or not they're even going to happen, but whether or not there's actually even anybody out there who genuinely loves the Biden campaign and him, and they believe in him as a candidate, let alone a functioning human being. And it came to me, the imagery came to me in my head, that anybody who is intending on voting for Joe Biden is pretty much in a situation where they are in a plane that is quickly descending. It's going to crash. And you need to strap on a parachute and jump on out. And the only parachute left is this old parachute, maybe faulty. You don't know. You're going to put it on. You're going to jump out of the plane. And you're going to hope that this parachute holds together enough to at least get you to 75 feet. So even if you fall from there, you break a few legs, at least you're still alive. That's what Joe Biden is, a faulty parachute.
Well, in the Harris-Biden administration, the Biden parachute comes second.
Thank God. I'm trying to look. I had a bunch of clips, A-B comparisons of Joe Biden and JFK on policy. Not JFK from Louisiana, not the senator today who drives the Democrats crazy, but the last Democrat
president
who believed that lower taxes was the way to go for the economy. I'm not sure if this is it. I have a bunch of unnamed files because I'm a slop boy.
Uh-oh. Well, yeah. You know what? I can play this Joe Biden completely interrupting a Trump voter while you look and make sure you're not going to play like a recording of you, I don't know, plotting the next time you're going to rob the bank down the street.
All right, go ahead.
All right.
Go ahead.
Here we go.
This is Julie Mosser-Bolle from Sacramento, Pennsylvania. She's CFO for her family potato farm, a member of the Pennsylvania Farm Bureau. She's also a Republican who voted for President Trump in 2016. Julie, welcome.
Thank you.
How are you feeling now, Julie?
Good evening. Overregulate your climate plan embraces.
No, it doesn't. It's holding.
Excuse me. If I could finish.
I'm sorry.
Thank you.
He interrupted her. She didn't even get to finish her question. She started talking about his climate change plan. And he said, no, it doesn't.
He's allowed to do that because he's on the compassionate, very, very intellectually sound left.
I think the same thing happened, though, with Donald Trump at the ABC town hall. Let me just dial back to the ABC town hall from Tuesday night. And I have a couple of samples of the questions. But I think at the end of it, Donald Trump jumped in and a woman chided him the same way.
Here, oh, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. Here's a couple of questions. And the last one, I think, is the key one.
If you believe it's the president's responsibility to protect America, why would you downplay a pandemic?
Why did you throw vulnerable people like me under the bus?
You've coined the phrase, make America great again. But when has America been great for African Americans in the ghetto of America?
Should pre-existing conditions, which Obamacare brought to fruition, be removed?
No.
Please stop and let me finish my question, sir.
Oh, God.
Seriously?
Yes, that happened.
That's nothing like what Biden did.
But the series of questions, it was like they were throwing spiked baseballs at his head. And meanwhile, Joe Biden's getting the one that, isn't the blue sky just fantastic? Well, yes, it is. Let me tell you about corn pop.
He can't even answer those questions. It's horrible. It's horrible. Yeah.
I'm nervous about my file keeping here. I'm not sure if these are the actual questions. Let me just play one of these and
see if
it's even Biden.
Look, tomorrow's Superstar Tuesday, and I want to thank you all. I tell you what, I'm rushing ahead, aren't I?
Oh, no, these are all Biden screw-ups. These are all Biden screw-ups from, like, the last year.
Super Thursday.
Oh, I have about 40 of them here. And I could just randomly do this.
Play the radio. Make sure the television, make sure you have the record player on at night.
That was his parenting advice from the debate. Remember that?
I do.
I said the Biden wheel of gas.
I was just going to say, let's just spin the wheel and see where we land.
Here we go.
Boom. I got hairy legs that turn blonde in the sun.
Huh?
And the kids used to come up and reach in the pool and rub my leg down so it was straight, and then watch the hair come back up again. They'd look at it. So I learned about roaches. I learned about kids jumping on my lap.
Yeah?
And I've loved kids jumping on my lap.
That was last summer.
You know, I was talking about this last night with my brother. That if I remember the first election I ever voted in when I turned 18, it was the 2004 election. I voted for George Bush. My idea was, well, I mean, 9/11 happened on his watch. Let's give him a chance to wrap up this war in Iraq.
Little did you know.
let's give him a chance to wrap it up. But the reason why I bring this up is every night I remember David Letterman, everybody would take pot shots at the gaffes that came out of George Bush. And even me, someone who voted for him, I laughed like hell. I knew that he was really a goofy doofus kind of a guy outside of, you know, the war crimes and stuff like that. Just in a public sense, it was embarrassing. This is so many hundreds of times worse than George Bush. And the fact that the same media that crucified Bush and characterized him as the perpetual monkey man is at the same time trying to explain away why we're getting this babble coming out of Joe Biden, or ignoring it altogether, trying to move on, nothing to see here. It's really quite something. But then again, you need depth of vision. You need some kind of a perspective to be able to compare and contrast the two. And as we know from the Bob Woodward fake scandal that we had to live through 2 weeks ago, people don't even remember March. So it's I don't expect anybody to remember the Bush presidency and the way that he was covered by the media.
After I tell you guys about Simply Safe, we're going to talk about the whistleblower in quotes. Mike, do you know anything about this?
Do I?
Brian Murphy?
I'm a customer. Oh, I thought you were talking about Simply Safe.
Oh, no. Do you know anything about Brian Murphy? I will invite you to be talking about Simply Safe in a second, for sure, because we're customers, too, and we love it. But, yeah, Brian Murphy, the whistleblower.
No, I don't. Oh. I need to know, though.
Oh, good. I will explain it. I don't think Frank caught up with it either, so I'm going to explain it to you guys. But this portion of our amazing three-person podcast is brought to you by Simply
Face. Get a Simply new face day. Today.
Wait, well, we'll fix it in post. Ready? Three. Cut that out. 3, 2, 1. Go.
Simply Safe. Here's the thing about home security companies. Most of them trap you with this high price, tricky contract, lousy customer support. So when there are a lot of options out there, there's only one no-brainer, which is Simply Safe. It is super easy. The cameras are super clear, and it's so you get it 5 minutes and they're up right outside. Simply Safe has everything you need to protect your home with none of the drawbacks of traditional home security. It has an arsenal of sensors and cameras that blanket every room, window, and door tailored specifically for your home. Professional monitoring keeps watch day and night, ready to send police, fire, or medical professionals if there's an emergency. Mike, tell us.
It is so easy to install. That's what I liked about it. The box comes. It's got instructions for people like me who have never put a security system together. And bingo, bango, bongo, I'm connected. And that was it. And like you said, it's your control. You are in control of how long your relationship lasts with them, how big of a deal you have with them, how much of your life they are monitoring.
Yep.
It just makes so much sense. It is the beautiful a la carte ability of the Simply Safe program that made sense for us.
All of it starts at only $15 a month. And it's worth it. It really is. You can put anything. You can put stuff wherever you want. You don't. You're not like locked into anything. It's very customizable, and it's really great. So we're glad they're partnering with the show. And Mike, I might have to bring you on because you're so much better at this than me.
Anytime you need me, I'm here. You know that.
Thank you, Brian Murphy. Drum roll, Brian Murphy. Brian,
wait a minute. We have a drummer.
Exactly.
You're just. There you go. Come on now. That's just wrong, Beach. Don't stay in your lane.
I thought you dropped your mic. Is that a drum roll? I thought she dropped her microphone or something. Like, where's the balance in this?
Oh my God, I need a tissue. I'm sweating right now.
Okay, Brian Murphy, a conservative Republican who has supported the president in the past, but what the heck is going on with him?
I'm waiting on Robin Gritz because she said she's got experience with him. Robin Gritz is the FBI agent that was accused Andrew McCabe of sexual discrimination and misconduct. I don't know if you know that story.
Yes. I'm just fascinated by grits and beans. It sounds like now I'm hungry.
Well, we've got Frank and beans and grits and beans. We're all good. So Brian, he did this. He wrote a whistleblower complaint, not unlike the last one from Vindman and company. But this one was not anonymous. He's got his name on it. And of course, he's represented by who we say is a Disney loving lawyer, Mark Zaid, whistleblower attorney. Horrible, horrible, horrible guy.
Whistleblower to the CIA stars.
Yeah, basically. And we still have to talk about.
Lawyer to the CIA stars. Sorry.
Well, he's a whistleblower too. He might as well be the way he acts. He's horrible. And we have to talk about Ray yesterday.
Oh, yes.
But before we do, basically, a couple weeks ago, we played a clip of Adam Schiff blaming the Portland Antifa riots on Russia. He said they were Russia's fault, that Russia was infiltrating groups and they caused a false flag with Black Lives Matter, whatever the heck that means. We haven't been able to figure it out yet. But what happened is in this whistleblower complaint, basically Brian Murphy is accusing the Department of Homeland Security of politicizing intelligence. He's saying, you know, they're politicizing Antifa intelligence to match what the president says. They're saying there are deep state people in here trying to mess things up. It was Cuccinelli, Wolf, and someone else that they went after. And then this week, they all released emails that show that Brian Murphy wrote down and he said he was directed to change things and say certain things and he refused to do it. But he also apparently emailed these same people, his same superiors, saying no one's ever asked me to do any of that stuff. And he also emailed saying that Antifa was a real threat and that we have passed the threshold of being able to call it just some random occurrence and that it's organized. And that they use certain methods and tactics and that there's likely funding. And he wrote, whistleblower man who says that they're trying to politicize intelligence, wrote all of this stuff in his reports to the people he's accusing. Why did they think this would work?
Because they're grasping. This is desperation time. Look, the clock is ticking. We're under 50 days. The voting has actually started in some places. They are starting to smell what the rock is cooking, and they're not happy about it. They're very nervous. Every time Biden opens his mouth, they start looking for, hey, drop another bombshell, please. So they've got a chest of all of these, starting with the Atlantic article, then going into Woodward's book. You had the woman who came out of nowhere 2 days ago and accused the president of groping her at the U.S. Open. Meanwhile, nobody says anything about Joe Biden allegedly sticking his hand up the dress of a girl who worked for him. And he won't release the records, despite the fact he said he would release all the records. This is all about panic.
But I think there's a more nefarious motive than just, you know, throwing October surprises out in September, Mike, because there has been this coalition that is preparing for Election Day. It's funded by Soros. We're allowed to say that on this show. We're not Fox News. And I think that they're trying to seed the public, at least in terms of the military sort of thing, to expect a military coup.
TIP?
Yeah.
The Transition Integrity Project that Podesta's involved with it. Donna Brazile's involved with it.
Yep.
Which is really disturbing. And yeah, it is Soros funded. It's very concerning, people. You need to be aware of this. And you know what? They're all starting to talk about it. I just happen to have a montage of Hollywood and highly sourced Democrats who are talking about casting doubt on the transition of power in this country.
If he loses Trump, he won't go. I've been saying that since before he got elected.
You have so many rank and file military personnel saying, whoa, we're not a military state. This is not who we are. I promise you, I'm absolutely convinced they will escort him from the White House.
There is a process. It has nothing to do with if the certain occupant of the White House doesn't feel like moving and has to be fumigated out of there.
Just by talking about it, they give legitimacy to the rumor.
Yeah. Yeah, that was great. I love you, by the way. Isn't this great, Frank?
Yeah, it is.
God, I need to learn how you do it. How do you do it, Mike?
Well, you can't buy it. You can't bottle it. It's not easy being me. And Tracy Reads, there are days I get up and I don't want to go to work, but I look in the mirror and I say, my God, your hair is perfect. Get to the office.
Get to the office quick.
If you guys want to follow Mike on Twitter, he's a great follow. He's at StuntBrain. There is a story behind that name, isn't there?
Yeah, I used to have, and I still do, have a company that thinks for people who can't, won't, or just don't. We are consultants for people. I used to consult radio stations, specifically hosts, like Glenn back when he was, as he used to call himself, a drunken rodeo clown, morning show host, Scott Shannon, and others. And I would give them guidance and tips and comedy, etc. And they said, Shannon would say, what do we call you? What do we even call your job? What are you? I said, well, you've heard of a stunt man at a movie. I'm kind of like your stunt brain. He goes, oh, you're our stunt brain. Okay. Oh,
it stuck.
It stunt did. Brain. And that's 30 plus years ago that's been there. Because people always go, what? You know, people that don't like me on Twitter. And trust me, there are plenty of them.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, my God. Look today with my retweet of Dan Bongino's tweet with the people are going, whoa, what are you, a stunted brain? Is that what that is? And I respond with, I'm sorry for your loss. And that always makes them more angry.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Is real Donald Trump compensating you two for filleting him? This is what they've got.
Somebody wanted to know that. Yeah. No. Ew. Pardon me. Again, another... I don't speak like this on my normal radio shows. I just want you to know.
Well, that's why it's nice for you to be here to have some.
God forbid. God, you definitely haven't watched me on mine then.
Oh, boy.
Oh, God.
I will now, Frank.
I don't want to ruin your perception of me that you've built up so far. Some nights, Maya, I'm going to tell you.
The law for watching Frank's show is that you have to have your pants off.
It's just more comfortable that way.
I'm not even sure I know where to go with this. I'm not old enough for this program at this point. I'm really off in the distance. By the way, I have a new sponsor for the show.
Who?
Do you mind?
No.
And I know some of you might have a problem with this, but this just came through. I took the authorization and approved it myself. Ladies and gentlemen, we'd like to welcome a new sponsor to Frank and Beans here, or whatever the heck you're calling it. Just enjoy.
Are you sick and tired of your calm, peaceful life? Are you sleeping too well at night? Is your city too safe? Well, not anymore. Introducing Democrats. Politicians so incompetent, they'll fill your neighborhood with riots, looting, rampant violence, and even homelessness. The secret is a special blend of corruption and good old-fashioned stupidity. No more pesky law and order. When Democrats are in charge, nobody's safe. Simply vote for Democrats, sit back, and watch your neighborhood burn to the ground. But wait, vote for Democrats now, and they'll include rolling blackout, election fraud, cancel culture, taxes, and more taxes. Democrats, bringing chaos right to your front door.
Thank you, Democrats, for joining the show.
Beautiful.
I can't take credit from that. That's from a Twitter good follow, Not a Lemming.
Not a Lemming?
Not a Lemming. Robbie Starbuck retweeted it. It's finally an honest ad from the Democrats.
This has been one of the best shows. This has been one of the best, Frank.
I was going to ask Mike something. I'm forgetting what the hell it was. It was soap, a good question.
Liquid soap and why? Very impressed. I'd be very impressed if you knew where that obscure cultural reference came from.
Say it again. The liquid soap.
Who invented liquid soap and why?
I don't know. I don't know this reference.
It's you know, Meathead, Rob Reiner.
Yes.
He's a good director and probably a nice man. He's a horrible person when it comes to policy.
But horrible.
The first film he directed was called The Sure Thing, with John Cusack and Daphne Zuniga. And it is one of the greatest, simple, unappreciated love stories ever made. And the final scene, it makes me cry. It's almost as good as the final scene in Casablanca when Bogey says, you got to get on that plane. You're part of his work. And if you don't, you'll regret it. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon and for the rest of your life. So if I can make one recommendation before we get out of here, find The Sure Thing, or just go to the YouTubes and look at the last scene from The Sure Thing. It is a piece of brilliance.
Okay.
And is that where the soap reference comes from?
Yeah, that's a question. It's in that final scene. Who invented liquid soap and why?
What's the answer?
There isn't one. It's a non sequitur. It's just an obscure cultural reference from one of the greatest scenes ever from a horrible policymaker who wants us to all become communists because he's a Mercedes Maoist. He has all of his money. He doesn't want anybody else to have any.
He's kind of
Meathead. Meathead for sure. Oh, yeah. Oh, he's been awful. I can't stand everybody that I used to really enjoy. For example, Rob Reiner, you're talking about, you great, great director and otherwise completely intolerable. Just back in August, I always do a show, an episode that I really love. It's called The Deer Scene, and it's based on the deer scene from from Stand By Me, based on Stephen King, another failed miracle of a creative mind. And Rob Reiner directed Stand By Me, and there's so much goodies in that film, and it creates the basis for a show, an episode I love doing every year. But at the same time, every step along the way, I feel like more and more we got to just separate. Okay, well, they created great works of art. Doesn't mean that they're very healthy people mentally. And then sometimes they're just downright vile in the things that they have said and done and endorsed over the years. And it sucks to have to go through culture with that kind of disclaimer, you know, but that's where we're at.
Speaking of being. Oh, go ahead, Mike.
I was going to say you should theme those episodes. Stay in your lane.
Stay in your lane.
Two things. One, who saw what happened with the Democrats sending over the letter to the IG to do an investigation into Durham for being politically motivated in his attacks against whoever he's investigating?
I'm raising my hand.
Kamala Harris signed it.
Yeah, nine others too, right?
Yeah, it was partisan, obviously, looking to investigate John Durham. So now what I have to say about that, look, aren't they by the very act of sending this letter acknowledging that there was partisanship in what happened to President Trump in 2016?
Yeah, it sure is. But I love the fact that their answer to an investigation into a government scam or scandal is another investigation into the investigators,
which is what's happening right now. So it's like we're inside of Inception. We've got an investigation into an
yes.
Seriously. And not only that, but, you know, these guys, these people that are being investigated, Barr has come out and said a gazillion times, they're not running for office and they're not politicians. these guys, the people that they're asserting are a part of a political witch hunt, are not supposed to be recognized by their politics, by the very nature of the job that they have. They are supposed to be nonpartisan. So what are you saying? They're all Democrats? Like, they're so moronic. They need...
Well, you add Mitt Romney into that, and of course it becomes bipartisan.
No, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, but Mitt Romney was elected just so that everything that they do going forward in the 6 years that he is misrepresenting the state of Utah in the Senate is to be able to say, look, bipartisan impeachment.
Did you guys see that there is an upswell of Amish support for President Trump?
Wait a minute. You Amish?
Amish.
Amish, you mean?
Amish. Amish, whatever. Yeah.
I live near them. They're all over the place. You can't swing a cat without hitting a Stolzfus here.
Well, about Amish Sam.
There are, from inside the Amish community, it's been in existence since 2016, and there was a huge attempt to block the Amish because they eschew modern society and things like photo IDs. So they were getting blocked from getting voter identification cards.
Well, you don't need voter ID anymore.
Well, I know, but in 2016, that was a thing. And they were keeping the Amish from voting, and they were overwhelmingly supporting the president. I'm knee deep into the Pennsylvania, Eastern Pennsylvania political garbage, but this is a good thing. And they're supporting him even more now?
They've got signs on their wagons.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah,
that's fantastic. I'm a big fan of these folks, except for the puppy mills, because they do have puppy mills.
Do they really?
Yeah, they do a lot of that.
I know. So. I have had a couple of friends and a couple of family members that have driven out to Lancaster and stuff like that to get to buy specially bred boxers and things like that.
A lot of puppy mills. But, you know, you need to make a road trip up here one time, TB, to visit just to get your picture taken in the towns of Intercourse, Pennsylvania, and Blue Balls. And there's a town called Pussyville as well.
Seriously?
They're all right next to each other.
I feel like there's about three dozen Pussyvilles in New York.
Yeah, but you have to pay to get in. I'm just saying. Right there. Don't forget your waiters and bartenders.
You still have to pay a cover to get into those.
It's an uncover in those places.
I was going to play Christopher Wray, but I think this is a good way to wrap it. Thank you so much to Mike Opelka for joining us today on the podcast. You can find him on Twitter at StuntBrain. He's got the Mike and Angie Show Monday through Friday. Can you tell us where to listen to your amazing show?
Yeah, if you go to angieandmike.us, there's a link to listen. And it runs all day and all night. They just keep repeating it. But it's on like 20 stations around the country. angieandmike.us, Philadelphia. I'm on usually 8 to 11 on Saturday nights because that's what I do with my Saturday nights because I'm bored. And we do a live show every Saturday night. We talk the politics. Sometimes Ms. Beans joins us. That's... WPHT on the radio.com app, WPHT. You can listen, and it's a great app. And then next Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday from 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern, I'll be in for Simon Conway on a bunch of stations in Iowa.
Very nice.
He's great.
I just followed you, Mike. I just found you right here at Stunt Brain. There you go. I followed you.
I want to see right now at time of record, Mike has 24.4 K followers. I want to see him at least, let's say, 27 by the end of the day.
Okay, let's do it.
Well, I just saw that. Quite frankly, followed me.
There I am.
Political orgy.
That's me.
Yeah, that's he's got a lot more followers than I do, so I'm very jealous. So
yeah,
I'm
but you have a blue check mark.
Yeah, you have a check.
That doesn't mean anything.
Oh, yes, it does.
My credit score is not going up because I have that.
No, you are allowed to be seen because you have that.
Yeah, you're an authority figure.
Oh, this is too much pressure for me.
Mm-hmm. I'll take it. You can stick it on over to me if you want. I'll take your check mark.
You want me? Should I talk to some people for you?
You know, people? Yes, because that they won't be able to shadow ban me and keep my stuff from reaching a gazillion people the way it should be if I had that blue check mark next to my name.
Wow, I didn't realize it's like a bulletproof vest for conservatives on Twitter.
It's
but,
clout. You
know, it's clout. Yeah. I got clout. Oh, who knew? I'm going to have a swagger today.
Yeah, walk with that swagger. You've been listening to the Dark to Light podcast with New Dad.
New Dad. Thank God it's Friday, Val. Going upstairs to burp a baby again. And
Beans, you can hear us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 2:30 Eastern Time on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and RadioInfluence.com. Until Monday.
Later.
Radio Influence strives to bring you excellence in podcasting. We work with personalities like TV chef Brian Duffy, radio personalities like Ian Beckles, news and political pundits like independent journalists Frank and Tracy Beans, experts from the sports world like veteran football scout and coach Chris Landry, pro wrestling personality David Penzer, MMA experts Jason Floyd and Daniel Galvan, and strength and conditioning coach Jeff Crochelle. If you're looking for food, sports, music, entertainment, politics, no matter the topic, Radio Influence has something for everyone. All of Radio Influence's programming can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Podcasts, and RadioInfluence.com.